Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. This recording is an excerpt from our Saturday morning Dhamma class at Cross River Meditation Center in Frenchtown, New Jersey, on February 4th, 2017. A question was asked regarding the turbulence following the recent presidential election about maintaining a calm and well-concentrated mind during these quickly changing times. See you this morning. How are you?
A lot of my stress, or all of my stress, is from craving and wanting things to be different. Mm-hmm. And that's really helped me in my personal life, in dealing with people in my life, and dealing with things about myself. Mm-hmm. And it's had a really incredible ripple effect. But my struggle is transferring that to the world.
Yeah.
How can I stay happy?
Are you looking to me for those words of wisdom? I'm just as confused and concerned as you are. Thank you, Ellie. I'm glad you came this morning. You certainly are not unique. I would say probably everybody in this room feels the same way. We are living in the most turbulent times in my lifetime, and I remember things like the Cuban Missile Crisis. I remember coming home from school, we used to have air raid sirens.
Yeah,
and you were told that when that siren went off, you went into the nearest basement. And I still remember, you know, I must have been 5 or 6 years old, walking home from school, and the siren went off, and I ran to the closest house, pounding on their door. The bombs are coming. The bombs are coming. I need to get in your basement. This is what I grew up. And a lot of people grew up in that. These are more turbulent times. Back then, I didn't have a frame of reference for understanding that. I have a little bit better frame of reference now. It doesn't take away my concern for what's going in the world, but I will say that I've been able to maintain a relatively peaceful mind, and it's because of an application of impermanence. So something happened last, whenever, I don't remember what the election date was, November something. 22nd, is that right? Or 17th, it doesn't matter. Something happened on that election day that was, for most people, unexpected. And for many, many people, undesired. But it's all part of the first noble truth. So the first noble truth, when the Buddha says dukkha occurs, or there is dukkha, dukkha meaning everything from mild disappointment and an unsatisfactory experience all the way to extreme emotional and physical suffering, is an explanation of what's occurring right now. It doesn't solve the problem, though, does it? It just explains the problem. Then the Buddha says in the second noble truth that it is individual craving that originates suffering, and then clinging to what we're craving for. So in that moment when Mr. Trump became our president, dukkha exploded in many people's minds. And instantly, and across the world, and instantly, an extreme amount of craving developed for the situation to be different. What's wrong there? It can't be different. It's what occurred. And this is, we're not, you, when you say it's right or it's wrong, now you have to remember there's millions of people that feel this is the best thing that could happen. Just as many people thinking this is the worst possible thing that could happen. Who's right? It doesn't matter. Because what's going to occur in the next moment? Has very little to do with what has previously occurred in our minds. What's most important, as best we can, to understand impermanence and understand how important it is to maintain as best as we can a common, peaceful mind. And if we find out that right in this moment my mind is agitated and I'm distressed and I'm full of fear, be at peace with that. Because that's, your question was, how can I move through this? How can I move through something that I simply cannot accept? That's the wrong way of looking at it. Because what you're telling yourself is, I can't approve of this. And you're saying, you're reinforcing that uncertainty that happened when we heard that Mr. Trump became elected. It happened. We don't have to approve of it, but we have to accept it. Because it's part of impermanence. Now, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I probably will give a class on this entirely, because I think I have to. I'm called out on it enough, or too many times. When I look at the system that we have put in place in this country, and I compare it to other political systems that have been around since the time of the Buddha, it's the system that speaks most clearly to what the Buddha said too. The democratic process that we have in this country, while sometimes it moves very slowly, is rooted in impermanence. This incredible system that was developed, how many years ago, in the 1700s, was based on an understanding that things are always going to change. How best can we manage that as a political and governmental system? Built into this system is change, it is impermanence. And so, where I take refuge in that is the fact that no matter what, I don't live in a kingdom. I don't live in a dictatorship. I don't live with an emperor. I live with someone who is, right or wrong, democratically elected. And in 4 years, we can put someone else in if he doesn't do the job. If he's as awful as everyone says, or as half the people in the world think he's going to be, we can simply vote him out. Now we also have, think about this. This is amazing to me. If he doesn't have very, very quick success, in other words, if his somewhat radical policies don't show a real success quickly, in 2 years, there's going to be so many Democrats that are voted in place that they're going to take over the Congress, and he won't be able to do anything. On the other hand, if his policies prove to be a reasonable and sensible way to govern, that probably won't happen, and he'll be affirmed in what he's doing. But what's taking place is that people in this country, at least the ones that participate in the system, have a way of getting their voices heard. And so then we can hear too long of a speech today. So then we can get into, well, how did this happen in the first place? Because it really is remarkable that how this man got there. I mean, if somebody said to me 6 months ago, you know who the next president's going to be? Yeah. It can't be. It can't possibly. Not that I have anything. I don't have anything personal against Mr. Trump. I really don't. I am concerned about some of the things that he's doing. But I also know that whatever he's doing is not permanent. I also know that maybe we need to be a little bit shooken up. I don't think we need to be this shaken up. But I think there was some... I don't claim that my view of the world, meaning the political world, is that I know everything there is to know. And I can't know. None of us can know. So I can't say that I don't remember how many votes he got, 60 million, but whatever it was, that all those millions of votes that Mr. Trump got, I can't say that every one of those people is wrong or ignorant. I certainly can't say that they're racist or anti... that just doesn't make sense to me. But I also can't say that all the people that wanted Hillary Clinton to be the next president are wrong either. We can't know that. But we have to accept that we live in a system that, right or wrong, is... I think it's the best system that is most aligned with what the Buddha taught. It allows for impermanence. This country is never taken over by one person. There's a danger of that happening, though. And that can happen the beauty of our system is that we have a two-party system. And if one party gets too strong, then we are really in trouble. And that can happen from one side or the other. In other words, if we're just a country of Democrats, we have no more democratic process anymore. And if we're just a country of Republicans, we have no democratic process anymore. And somehow, over the last 200 and whatever years it is, this process that lends itself to uncertainty has also lent itself to a country where, overall, a peaceful and safe environment has evolved. In the last few months, it doesn't feel like that, does it? But that's the impermanence. That's the impermanence that's part of the system. So what can we do? Should we lose our minds? And I mean, really, because that's what it is. There's nothing wrong with protests. You know, the country is founded on protest. But... I don't have time to teach the class, but I guess it's time to do this. I'll go through DO pretty quickly. When I was becoming of age and having a view that started including the outside world, I grew up during the Vietnam War. I grew up during those protests. And by and large, initially those protests were a necessary part of free speech and part of democracy. We needed people in this country to stand up and say there's something wrong here. And I participated in quite a few marches. Even I think I was like 9, 10, 11 years old getting involved in marches, and then a little bit later. You know when I stopped? I was going to cry. I was at a march in New York, and a serviceman walked by, and he got spit on. This is wrong protest. We can't let protest rise to the level of hatred. And that's what's occurring now. That's what scares me. Is we're not protesting. We're expressing hate. And that's not helpful. It's not helpful on any level. And hate rises from fear. I can understand where that comes from. But it also comes from a lack of understanding. It comes from a lack of mindfulness. And if there's one thing that scares me, it really isn't where the right might be taking us. It's where the extreme left and their protest are taking us right now. And that is scary. I've got to tell you, there's a lot of stuff that's scary. It's not just that. So, sorry for the speech. As people developing an understanding of what real peace and happiness is founded in, it really tells us that we need to take to the Dhamma more than ever. Because the most loving thing we can do for ourselves and for everyone on the planet is to take to the Dhamma and awaken. So, excuse the political speech. I didn't mean to do it. I hope you found some benefit. I understand everybody's agitation right now. Nothing is set in stone. And that doesn't mean that things won't get worse before they get better. But they're really, we have a system in place that if they do get worse, we can quickly turn it around. And that really is... This is probably the only country in the world that we could do that, you know, despite who the president might be. He's not a king. He's not a dictator. He does have an awful lot of power. But the power in this country is in each and every one of us. And in 2 years, we can end whatever he's doing if it's not appropriate. You know? And in 4 years, we can get a whole new person in there. You know. Just to go a little bit further on that, just to make, you know, kind of make the point. When I was younger, there was no possible way that we could ever have a black man president. Impossible.
Yeah.
Almost as impossible was a woman becoming president. It just could not happen in my lifetime. But changes occurred so quickly, not quick enough for some people, that we just had a black president. That's amazing to me. I don't want to get into how the neighborhood that I grew up in, but I grew up in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey, nice little town. Back then, the realtors colluded with each other to not let black families move into the town. They actually showed them houses outside of town when they came in. This went on, and there were a lot of towns. Clark, New Jersey, was another famous town for doing that.
I had a great story about that regarding my family. I grew up in Maplewood. And Maplewood was pretty much the blacks were on one side,
yep,
of Maplewood, the whites were on the other side of Maplewood. It was just the way it was. My father was a builder. He bought a lot on the white side of Maplewood, built a house. He was going to originally sell the house. When the neighbors all found out it was a black builder and got all upset, he decided, I'm moving my family to the house.
Yes.
And that's where I grew up.
Wow.
And the town would not even issue him a CO on the house, because they did not want to issue a certificate of occupancy to a black family living on the white side of town.
Yeah, that was common.
Yeah, that was in the 50s, yeah.
So, things have changed.
Oh, yeah.
Not enough, but things have changed. We're going in the right direction.
We're going in the right direction.
And, you know, I really think that there were some things developed over the past 8 years that I don't think that in general, that the country was ready to accept completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so this pendulum swinging back a little bit. In my lifetime, we came very close to having a woman president, and we will at some point. I mean, I know it, but again, if you asked me that when I was 20 years old, 40 years ago, I would have said, there's no way. So we're going in the right direction. Impermanence has had a tremendous effect on the overall quality of life for everybody in this country, and I would say for the world. But there are such powerful expressions of extreme views right now from both sides. We need some time for everything to settle down, and it might take some time to do that. But we also have the Dhamma. We have a way of, in this incredibly turbulent world that we live in, to at least calm our own minds down. And if we can do that, Jen just said that her new husband, yeah, is being affected in a positive way by the Eightfold Path. Excuse me for saying. We can do the same thing. And in fact, if we're going to have any real effect on what's going on in this country, on the world, the only way I can see it is through the Dhamma. But even more importantly than that, as a country, we have the most powerful form of protest. And we could do it every time we have an election. You know? So maybe we calm our minds a little bit and prepare for 2 years from now and 4 years from now. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't go out and protest, but we should do it with mindfulness. So when we protest, we should also have a solution. It's not enough to just say, this sucks. We should say, this sucks, and let's try this. Excuse my language.
Just to kind of bring it back to the Eightfold Path, sort of practically using that to move through this time, you always talk about agitation and tension and things that cause agitation and tension. As human beings, we are sensitive to very subtle emotional tones in what other people are saying. So even the most you know, centrist person who's reporting the news can say very subtle things that will trigger our egos.
Yep.
So I think, especially when you're getting your news, or when I'm getting my news, I try to be very mindful about how I'm getting it, how often I'm getting it, when I'm getting it, so where is my head when I'm getting it, so that because it is charged, I accept that it is charged, it's going to upset me, regardless of what it is. So am I in the space to be hearing that right now, Kent? Am I ready for my daily, you know, intake? And am I prepared to accept that it's going to make me uncomfortable, whatever it is? That, I think, it goes back to accepting what's happening now. And also in applying that to being able to take everything not personally, is you're hearing things through other people's
egos.
Yep. So yep. That's going to charge up my ego.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you're right or left, what's happening right now is the president is trying to literally just undo things. So that's more change that's going to cause tension and agitation, regardless of your attachments. It's just different.
Yep.
Which is going to be uncomfortable. So that kind of just big picture.
Yeah,
every day I try to have that conversation.
He feels emboldened, and rightly so, because of he's doing the things that he said he was going to do, and that he, and again, not to put him down, we're dealing with someone who has an extremely big ego.
Oh my god!
And it's going to be agitating to people.
Right.
But we don't have to react to it, and when we do react, it's time to remember that that's not the best way to deal with something. To maintain as calm and a peaceful mind as we can.
In your words of whenever you feel like you absolutely have to do something, sit down and do nothing, has been really helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No matter what we're doing, if it's from a reactionary, fearful, angry point of view that motivates us, it's never going to be helpful. It just won't. We'll end up spitting on soldiers, you know? It just doesn't work. So, we need to maintain our mindfulness as best we can and understand that everything changes. This is an extreme example of the First Noble Truth. So there's also a great opportunity to develop the Four Noble Truths in this situation. Thank you for listening. For more Dhamma talks and articles, please visit crossrivermeditation.com. We rely on donations from our listeners to provide these talks. If you have found this talk helpful in developing your understanding of the Dhamma, please consider a donation at crossrivermeditation.com. This talk is copyrighted and is made available under Creative Commons 4.0 license. Please visit crossrivermeditation.com for use and distribution information. Peace.